Welcome to episode number 6 of Soccer.
Yeah.
The Horn's unofficial yet so official soccer podcast featuring Bucky Godbolt and Brad Kellner. Appreciate y'all stopping by. Over the weekend, Buck, history was made by Austin FC. We'll get to that here in a second. But before we dive into today's episode, I want to mention what's coming up on today's podcast. We will be speaking with Eric Goodman, who covers Austin FC for the Austin Chronicle a bit later. Of course, we'll be recapping Austin FC's match with Seattle Sounders, and we'll start to look ahead to the future for the Oaks. The Soccer Duh podcast is brought to you by Altstadt Brewery, Altstadt Beer, and Buck. It's also brought to you by...
Oh, of course. My son's place is 34 Wine and Spirits right there in the Southwest Parkway. And my gang, my CBD oil people over there, Green Mountain Flower and greenmountainflower.com, 13450 Research Boulevard. And how about this? BrownEyeClothing.com.
Yeah,
go online,
baby.
At the end of this week. Giving 20% back to, of course, Kohler Rectal Research, as a matter of fact, thus the brown eye.
Well done. We're happy to have them on board.
Absolutely.
As
thank you to Lamar and the gang.
Sponsor. No doubt about that. So, Buck, history was made over the weekend. For the first time in club history, Austin FC had a draw. And we're celebrating this draw because it came against the best team in MLS on the road at Lumen Field, one of the toughest places to win in MLS, not only this year, but really over the last decade plus. Seattle has been one of the perennial contenders in Major League Soccer. They've been the best team in the league this year. And Austin FC gets a point on the road in Seattle. Your initial thoughts on the match?
What a great crowd. What a great crowd in Seattle. The Sounders had their wonderful crowd, and they're used to having great crowds there. Them and Portland, some of the original, the expansion teams of the MLS, and they're one of the best. And FC, the Oaks, got a chance to play the best, I think the best team in Major League Soccer. Their opportunity to play them in front of a pretty packed house, and it's hard to pack that house. Obviously, we understand it's a football stadium. But they did play a football game there. But it was a nice crowd. It was a nice scene. It was a beautiful evening, as a matter of fact. And for that first half, the Austin FC was right in there. They hung right in there. They played toe-to-toe with them. And they're playing. I'm truly believing this was the best team that they have seen up to date.
Mm-hmm.
This is a team that can control the ball. They control the ball with their feet. They're a possession team. And they're a one-on-one team that beat, on occasion, some of the defenders one-on-one, which Austin FC is going to learn eventually how to do. And as we said, they're still in the process. The process still goes on for this team. Josh Wolf still continues to build on what he's got going. And the nil-nil, it was because they frustrated the Sounders. The Sounders are very frustrated. They look like they had every advantage in the world. In the 75th minute, the goal, which did not count, that was taken back, but he was offside. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that. Offsides is offside. Just
yep.
Like in regular football, if you're offside, they're going to call that touchdown back. That's the way it goes. But this was a game that Austin FC, I think, grew a lot. This is a team that's been on the road for 6 games. They got another 2 to go. And quite frankly, well, not another 2. They have a week off, and then they play one more game. But this is a team that looks a little bit tired, and they can say what they want, but the guys look tired, and you should be. You should be tired. You've been on the road for your entire
mm-hmm.
season, and you can see that in the way some of them play, but there's a lot of growing still to do for this team, BK.
They've traveled nearly 9,000 miles so
that'll do
far,
it.
Buck. Yep, a 7-game road trip to start the year, an 8-game road trip, but they played 7 to this point. Yeah, shout out to VAR. You know, VAR took a goal away from Austin against Nashville, but helped out Austin FC
yes.
this weekend in Seattle. But yeah, the Sounders, the best team in MLS, top of the table. They have yet to lose a game, and I agree with you. I think Austin FC was able to frustrate Seattle, which doesn't happen often anywhere, but especially not at Lumen Field. And that was nice to see defensively. We'll get to the scoring and the lack thereof, because that's obviously the biggest problem plaguing Austin FC right now. 3 straight games without scoring a goal. But defensively, keeping it positive here, Buck.
Yep.
A much better performance for Austin. I know they only lost 1-0 to Nashville last weekend.
Right.
That game should have been 3 or 4-0. I mean, with the quality of chances Nashville was getting and really just the lack of communication we were seeing on the back line from Austin FC, that game could have easily been a blowout.
It wasn't tight. They weren't
Nashville.
Tight on the defense. There were gaps in there that balls got
mm-hmm.
through. A lot of one-on-one play, but they tightened it up.
They were much tighter.
Yeah,
the communication looked better.
And Ring looked a little bit better.
Ring looked yeah.
rusty against Nashville. He really did look rusty, which means they're going to look rusty on the back end. And you know, the rest of the guys have really got to get going when it comes to picking up the scoring. And we can talk about scoring all night with this team, but until they get dynamic players on the wings, they're going to have trouble scoring. They're going to look like an expansion soccer team on the offensive end. They just are. Mm-hmm. The dynamic scorers, of course, we're waiting for Pochettino to get his act together. Dominguez has not – Dominguez spends so much time on the ground and rolling around. He's going to be one of these players that I don't want to say this because I really want to be positive about it. I don't know if that's the Paraguayan way or whatever it is, but he's got to get out of that. This is a really tough blue-collar team. That rolling on the ground and rolling on and holding on to your legs and your knees and your ankles for 2 or 3 minutes and then popping up and running down, that won't work. He's not going to be a fan favorite. He needs to be a fan favorite. You're starting to see that all over the MLS where he goes and plays. Mm-hmm. When he starts to roll around as if
Seattle
he's been...
Seattle fans were letting him have it.
Well, it looks like he's snipered. I mean, if you're hurt, sit up on your keister and rub that area and you're getting a blow. People understand. Either other players come over to you. But when you go down, the way he goes down, like he's not coming back. Like there's no way he's coming back from this, and he pops right up. That I don't think that's going to work in Austin after a while because people are going to – they're already talking about it.
It'll work if he scores goals, but considering he's not scoring goals, it's not going to work, right?
Yeah,
that's one of the more frustrating parts.
And they're such a tough team.
Sure.
And he's one of the tough guys because he does play. He gets up and continues to play.
Mm-hmm.
But the rolling around is – it's starting to get a bit much.
Yeah, now that is that has been frustrating. That's one of the most frustrating parts of the sport for me. And you can get away with it if you're being productive, but
sure.
Cecilio Dominguez, not super productive. And I agree, you need more from your designated players.
Yeah, if you're Messi, you can get away with that.
Yeah, exactly. Defense made improvements. I would say they looked more organized would be the word that I would use. Brad Stuver only had to make a couple of saves, but made those saves to keep a clean sheet, so we'll give him some love. He continues to be one of the most, if not the most, impressive players on this club. But yeah, offensively, designated players not giving you much. Nobody giving you much for Austin FC. 3 straight games without a goal. We're on 353 minutes plus stoppage time without scoring. Austin FC's been shut out in 4 of the 7 matches this season. They've only scored more than 1 goal in 1 game this season. They did have a couple of chances, but still not that many. And man, at this point, Buck, is that just who this team is? Like, I don't know what to say to Josh Wolf because he's trying. He's clearly trying. He's changing up his starting 11. He's messing with the subs. He's moving guys around all over the field. It's just not translating to results. You know, at this point, I know they haven't played a home game, so maybe we're jumping the gun a little bit, but is this the type of team that we have this year? Like, if they do win, it's going to be 1-0, and we just can't expect them to score 2-3 goals? Per match?
I don't see it. I don't see this. If they score 3 goals in a match, in any match, I think we're all going to be surprised. I think this group is what they are right now. As I said, I think it's a work in progress. I think Josh Wolf is wanting to play from the back end and start his offense from back there, but he doesn't have those type of players. But the process means 2 years from now or 3 years from now when you may have some dynamic players. I mean, I think there's a time in June where you may be able to bring in a couple of different players, and maybe that happens then. But if it doesn't, I think the future of this team, you got to have stability in what your plan is. This is my plan. I plan on having a couple of dynamic players over the next couple of years that can work my offense. I don't want to start all over when those players get here and then teach them, here's what we do offensively. We're just – before – you know, the offense that we run now is the offense that we're always going to run. This is the way I feel. And I understand that, but – it's going to be a lot of games. There's going to be a lot of 1-0 games. There's going to be a lot of 0-0 games the way they play defense, which they do. It's hard for when you watch Austin FC and you watch the Oaks because they don't possess the ball and they don't have one-on-one guys that just shake and bake you. You saw that last week. Seattle, they had defenders that would bring the ball up and shake and bake a guy one-on-one. When you press FC, when you press Austin FC, they get rid of the ball really, really quick. They don't want to try to handle the ball one-on-one. They have guys that get the ball taken away from them. Hmm. They're not as physical on the ball, and I think you see that. And they've got to change that. They've got to go ahead and really give themselves an opportunity to make some one-on-one moves and not get the ball taken away. But they're not as physical on ball one-on-ones as you see other teams, and especially a good team like what we just saw last. The Sounders are a good team. They have a bunch of guys that can go one-on-one.
Yep.
With you, I think we saw that in the game. There were some great stops on defense, but they have one-on-one players, and they have at least 4 of those guys. I don't know if the Oaks have 2 guys that can do that. They really don't. They just don't have a consistent guy. And Alex Ring can't be your consistent. He's not your scorer.
No, a defensive midfielder. Well, that's
a defensive midfielder who really is the kind of one-on-one guy can make a single guy miss, mm-hmm. and that's all you're seeing right now. It's a process. I understand what the process is. I love the blue-collar mentality of the soccer team. The one guy, once again, has to get off the ground, and the other guys, they need to – you need to get – I liked the way Beasley played last week. I thought he was fantastic. I mean, he is my player of the game. I mean, he was the most consistent I've seen him play mm-hmm. was last week from him. The yep. goalkeeper continues to play really, really well. But your guys who are – they need to score goals. Mm-hmm. We're gonna watch defensive soccer here.
Yeah, I mean, they need to generate more chances. And when they do generate those high-quality chances,
they have to
chances,
score.
They got to finish. The best chance for Austin FC came from Jared Stroud in the 71st minute. I mean, he basically had a one-on-one. You mentioned Alex Ring. He forced a turnover. A couple of great passes to set up Jared Stroud. Pretty much a one-on-one with the goalkeeper.
Right to him.
I don't even want to give Stephon Cleveland credit for making the save. The save made him.
Yeah.
Like, you got to pick a corner there if you're Jared Stroud. So those opportunities for this club, it appears that they're going to be few and far between. You got to cash in. And that's been the problem. Like, it feels like one or two, at least once or twice a game, Austin FC gets one of those scoring chances, but they just haven't been able to capitalize.
And maybe they're a different team once they get home. Maybe after this week, you know, then they've got to play KC. They've played them already once, so they understand what they're all about. They get a week off. They know the importance of that game, that last game before they mm-hmm. come home. They can use a few points before coming home. And this may be – they may turn into a different type of team, but – I kind of think what we see is what we're going to get for a while out of this new franchise. Mm-hmm. I really do, until they get some key players. And maybe there's a spark here, but I don't see it. I'm waiting for John Gallagher to start all of a sudden scoring. But these guys have been consistently just consistent but not scoring. They've played well. They're kind of consistent, but they're not one-on-one players.
Yeah.
You know?
The bad news, one more road match for Austin FC at Sporting KC. The good news, yes. They have a bye this week, a chance to
Correct.
Rest their legs a little bit and get mentally right. But, yeah, you know, for Josh Wolf, he's not going to make any dramatic changes
no.
to his strategy.
And there's no reason to
You
for
can't
me.
Make drastic roster overhaul moves either. They can't pick up a third designated player during the summer window. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, hopefully, like the bad news is, well, you start with 8 matches on the road, and hopefully you can win or at least earn a point against Sporting KC, but you're going to be
right.
sub-500 coming back to Austin. But the good news is, what is it, 18 of the last 27 matches are going to be home for Austin.
That's right.
So a chance to really make up some ground later in the season when other teams start to get tired from traveling so much, you'll have that advantage. I don't want to make any like hardcore judgments for this team until June 19th, until they play one game at home, because that's the hope, is that the scoring will be generated by having that home crowd.
Well, I think what we saw of this team, there's only one team that's dominated, and that team, LA, is the Galaxy. They're suffering. They're losing games now all of a sudden. They were a house on fire, and now they're not. So every team so far that the Oaks have played, guess what? They can beat them. Including who they play, the Sounders. They can beat those teams if they can get off fast and get a goal or get two goals. They really can. There's nobody that you see so far that they played that will crush them.
No.
There really isn't.
No. And once again, I mean, we're sounding negative because of the frustrations with the lack of goal scoring, but to earn a draw, to earn a point on the road against
right.
Seattle, the best team in MLS and a team that made it all the way to the MLS Cup final last year, that's pretty damn good. So that's a great result for Austin FC. This is a draw that you celebrate. There are good draws and bad draws in this sport.
This is a fantastic
one. This is a great draw for Austin FC. The record right now, 2-4-1 for the Oaks. It is, of course, a four-match winless streak for Austin FC. They are off this week. We'll see if they can pick up a win at Sporting KC on June 12th. We'll take a quick break. When we return, Eric Goodman of the Austin Chronicle will join us to give his thoughts on Austin FC. Welcome back to Soccer, the Horns' unofficial yet so official soccer podcast, and we are thrilled to be joined by a very special guest. He is the beat writer for Austin FC for the Austin Chronicle. He is Eric Goodman. Eric, thanks so much for the time. How you doing, man?
You got it, guys. I guess that makes me the official, unofficial soccer columnist for the Austin Chronicle.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for joining us. We do appreciate your time, my man.
Oh, man, that is great. That is great, Eric. So we'll start with the most recent match against Seattle and then kind of get your overall thoughts on the season thus far for the Oaks. But Austin FC earning a 0-0 draw at Seattle. A very impressive result considering how good Seattle has been this year, considering how good Seattle has been at home over the last few years. Your thoughts on what you saw from Austin FC this past weekend?
Yeah, you know, as far as goalless draws go, I think Josh Wolf is going to be, and he was, you know, seemed quite satisfied with this one. It's a result that Austin FC really needed. You know, they were slumping pretty much ever since Alex Ring got his red card against Sporting Kansas City. They lost that game and haven't basically scored since. Still haven't scored, even though they did create a couple of really good chances, one of which in the second half to Jared Stroud that, you could see on his social media afterwards was kicking himself for not putting in the back of the net. But I think Austin FC walked off that field rightfully thinking they played the better soccer and definitely was the team that was happiest with the result. I think it sets them up really well into this little weekend off that they have. And then going back to Sporting KC, which I think is going to be a place they're going to be eager to try to set things right there.
You know, Eric, we had just talked before you came on with us. We had just talked about this team and how they've played, the blue-collar team that they are, because that's easy to say when you're a defensive team and you're not scoring any goals, so we'll call them the blue-collar team. But what they've shown us, I think, in these games is the fact that they can hang with anybody. They're not getting blown out by anybody. They got kind of hammered by LA Galaxy. But other than that, those are games that they could have won, and these are games that they've been on the road. And a road trip is a road trip, but when you have eight road trips, that has got to wear on you. They talk about how physically fit they are and they're ready to go, and that's no excuse. That's a long time on the road.
Yeah, I think part of it, and this, I think the team, and Josh Wolf especially, is starting to be a bit more honest with himself about what they can expect so early on, teaching the players the system, figuring out which of those players are adapting the best. I know Danny Hoosen wasn't available. He didn't make the trip with a hip injury. But I like how he set up that front three, not with John Gallagher, Gallagher in the center, but with Cecilio Dominguez playing a striker. They were in desperate need of somebody up at the top to kind of open things up, form those connections. I think Houston had who was playing in that position, had less than nine touches total in two previous games. So Dominguez set that right a little bit, freed things up. And I think bringing in Diego Fagundes, I think Alex Ring, of course, when he's healthy, will be there. And I think Diego Fagundes needs to be your everyday player, no matter what, even if it has to come at the expense right now of somebody like Tomas Pochettino, because he's just giving you that creativity.
Agreed, 100%. Eric, three straight games without a goal, 353 minutes plus stoppage time without scoring. You mentioned some of the changes that Josh Wolf is making in efforts to create more scoring chances. Is there anything else you think he can do, anything else he should be doing? And is this going to be a lingering problem for this club all year, or do you think that you're just in a little bit of a funk right now?
So to the first point, there's one thing that I think they just need to get better at. I don't know exactly how you do this, if any, except for just maybe spending, you know, more time than you usually would in training on it, but they have got to be more dangerous on set pieces. They're winning a lot of them, and they have guys who can deliver that service. Kolmanich's left foot, Pochettino and Dominguez with the right foot. These are guys that can set it on a platter. They just don't have anybody so far that's been able to get free in the box, get their head on some of these crosses. You know, that's like in basketball when you say, you know, you got to get easy points at the rim. You got to get some easy goals in the box off set pieces if you're winning them. So I think that's number one. And then long term, we know this team is not a finished product. And I think Claudio Reyna gave a great interview to the Striker Texas this week. He talked about all the places they're looking to add in the attacking midfield at the striker position. So I think to be where they're at, 7 points through seven games, is kind of like right at the line of what's acceptable and what they can be encouraged by. And the cavalry will come eventually.
No, I think you're right. The way you said it before, Eric, you said that this team being on the road, this time on the road and doing what they do, it's a process, and it's a process that I got to believe that we're not looking at just this, not looking at just your first season. You're looking at being around for quite a while, and you're going to have people that want to come and play. You're going to have players that want to come here and that are dynamic ball handlers themselves, and you can't take it all on in their first year and think that this is your finished product. It's not. It's just the beginning of a long process, I believe, that in the next 3 or 4 years, you're going to have players that are dynamic players that want to come from all over the country and all over the world that will play for you. So you have to put down your foundation. And this offense, the way they start in their own half is what they do. And you shouldn't change away from that because you're waiting to find the players. You should let the players you know right here know this is what we're going to do. Our future looks bright, and one thing they are is they're tough. If Dominguez can get off the ground and quit rolling around for 2 and 3 minutes at a time, I think this is a team that's going to be fabulous. I agree with you 100%. Him in the middle, this game opened it up a little bit. I'm not a fan of guys that pop up after 2 or 3 minutes, and I know that's a part of soccer. And Austin fans will have to get used to that, but they're so used to football, you know. They're used to seeing guys get up and go and play the game. But this is a process, and this process, I think, in the next couple of years will show benefits if they continue to be really, really tough in the way they play, especially on the defensive end.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with you to an extent on Dominguez. I have no problem when soccer players go to ground, especially when they feel contact, but you don't need to be on the ground for as long as he tends to be. And he'll probably pick that up, that's not as much part of the game in this country as what he's used to. And then just at the overall strategy, like you were talking about, I admire what the structure of this team is trying to do in how they are building the roster. They've kind of hedged their bets a little bit by not putting their entire financial investment up front and sitting kind of at the bottom of the league in terms of payroll, with a stated goal that they're gonna spend that money eventually, but they're gonna wait and see what their core is capable of, where their strengths and what their weaknesses are, and then try to fill that. It just then falls to Claudio Reyna, Josh Wolf, and Anthony Precourt to get it right when they then, you know, break back up the Brinks truck to whoever it is they think can come in and take this team to a new level.
You know, going into the season, Eric, it felt like the goal for this club was to just make it to the postseason. And then after 2 or 3 games, it's like, oh, hey, you know, maybe we can do more than just make it to the postseason. Maybe we can make some noise when we get there. But since then, it feels like this team has gone back to earth a little bit. 2-4-1 right now, currently second to last place in the Western Conference. Obviously tough to fully evaluate this team considering they have not played a home game yet. But do you still think, from what you've seen 7 games in, do you still think this is a playoff team? Do you still think that is a realistic goal for this club in year one?
Again, depends on how they use the summer transfer window. As they are currently constructed, and they've had some really long-term injuries, unfortunately, that they're not going to get back probably before the end of the season, and important players. I don't think as they're currently constructed they can get over the finish line. But we know, once again, that the they are not. This is not the finished product. So I think if they can add, they need a striker in the worst way, a striker who's going to make runs, dangerous runs that their creative players can rely on to say, you know, if they got the ball if Tomas Pochettino, for example, has the ball at his feet right now, he's looking around and he doesn't see any channels to pass it through because no one's making those dangerous runs, and so he's kind of getting frustrated, shooting the ball from distance, and his, you know, shooting foot is not arrived in Austin quite yet. So I think, again, and I think the first benchmark was getting to June 19th, and so they're on track to do that, and then I think they can still feel good about being on target for competing for that playoff spot.
You know, Eric, this is a team that when I watch, I watch this team, especially when they're back in their own end of and starting their offense from back where the goalkeeper is. It's a team with happy feet that you watch other teams. They have one-on-one players that individually can take a guy and shake him. We saw that last week with the Sounders and their defenders who actually started out their offense and beat guys one-on-one to get the offense going. I feel a little bit nervous when Austin FC has the ball at times. They tend to one bounce and bang it off to a next guy and then bang it off to the other guy. There's not a lot of forward movement, and it makes me a little bit nervous that they don't handle the ball. They don't keep possessions as long as some of the other teams. And I don't know if it's the dynamic players or this is the way that Josh wants them. Let's just get one hit on the ball, one on the foot. Let's get rid of it as quick as we can. But I don't see the individual guys that can shake a guy and really get this offense going. Alex Ring is their best player when it comes to shaking an individual, and he's a big guy. He's more like a rugged defenseman than an offensive guy, but he seems like the guy who can go one-on-one with players.
Yeah, and that's why the way this team needs to score goals is just through its organization, everybody being on the same page about where to go in the attack, what channels to fill, and understanding where your teammates are going to be until they're able to add somebody potentially who can be you know, kind of like the player you just mentioned, somebody like you know, Christian Roldan and Raul Ruiz Diaz, who they just saw in Seattle and were able to actually hold. And Seattle is a good example. That was the first game all season where they didn't have the majority of possession, and then I don't think it was particularly close. And that's not a bad thing if when you have possession, you're being quick and decisive about it. You know, that's why a lot of really good teams don't have a lot of possession, because when they do have the ball, they're quick, they get it up to the net, and they shoot, and they try to create an opportunity. It either goes out for a goal kick, corner kick, or they score. And so far, Austin needs to find that more direct front foot aggressiveness.
Eric Goodman of the Austin Chronicle. He covers Austin FC for the Chronicle. Nice enough to spend some time with us tonight to give us his knowledge and insight on Austin FC. Eric, thanks so much for the time, man. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You got it, gentlemen. Take care.
You too. And that's going to do it for this week's edition of Soccer. Duh, the Horn's unofficial yet so official soccer podcast with Bucky Godbolt and Brad Kellner. Many thanks to Eric Goodman for joining us tonight. Y'all be sure to follow Eric on Twitter @Goodman and check out the great work he does covering Austin FC for the Austin Chronicle. Special thanks to our sponsors, Altstadt Brewery, 34 Wine and Spirits, Green Mountain Flower Company, and browneyeclothing.com. We'll be back next week for another episode. For Bucky Godbolt, I am BK Brad Kellner. Y'all stay safe, y'all stay healthy, and stay verde. This has been Soccer. Duh.